Welcome to the Church of England's weekly podcast. Before we start this week's programme, you might like to know that this podcast is now available to subscribe to, free on the iTunes Store. Search for Church of England Podcasts in the podcast section of the store, and when you subscribe, every new episode will be automatically downloaded for you. In this week's programme, as his new book is published, the Archbishop of York talks about whether there's a place for religion in politics. The Church of England's rural officer talks about the crisis in dairy farming, and we find out more about a job in one diocese, which is based online. The Archbishop of York's new book, On Rock or Sand, was launched this week and has had many newspaper column inches written about it. Dr. John Sentamu talked about how the UK had faced a deep, deep economic crisis during the last 4.5 years and said inequality had trapped hard-working families on poverty wages. He said the church was making a political intervention, but was not trying to be party political.
Politics, as far as I understand it, has to do with the public deliberations on how society should be governed. It is for the whole nation to engage itself in deliberating on how we should be governed. And that's why this particular book has been written. Others may then ask a question: what message have we got to give, particularly as we face the general election? Often, the word economy does not give us the true understanding of what it is. Economy talks about relationships. People who are in economic relationships with one another, guarded by the principles that actually govern those people. So if we were to take British economy as a household, in a household, the proper ethical and moral principles that govern that household, and one of the greatest is, no one in a household should have too much while the majority have too little. So a proper household means that things are arranged in such a way that everybody in that household flourishes. And if one is not flourishing, you may lead to dysfunctionality of that particular household. So the economy of Britain, seen as a household, means that all of us have got to participate fully in its life, in its business, in its commerce, in its deliberations, so that all of us can flourish. And it would be quite a pity if the powerful, the richest, are the ones that thrive in our household and some are left behind. And therefore, for me, one of the greatest challenges that faces our nation has to do with income inequality.
The Archbishop of York talking about his new book. Churches across the country are being encouraged to think about the current plight of dairy farmers who are struggling with decreasing milk prices and delayed payments. The Arthur Rank Centre, a charity supported by rural churches, said the number of dairy farmers has halved over a decade, with prices at a 7-year low amid rising costs. I spoke to Dr. Jill Hopkinson, who's the National Rural Officer for the Church of England, based at the centre in Warwickshire. I started by asking her why they had decided to get involved.
Here at the Arthur Rank Centre, we keep very closely in touch with the cultural and rural communities, and we felt that it was vital that we asked congregations of all denominations to pray for those who spend their lives producing the most basic of commodity for us, and that's milk. And milk and dairy products, we eat so much of them in this country, and yet people who produce milk, farmers who produce milk, are not receiving a fair price for what they produce. And we wanted to make people aware that this was happening, and that to remind them that actually food is a gift from God, and that we mustn't take it for granted, nor must we take for granted those that produce food for us.
What stories have you heard from farming communities?
Really high quality dairy farmers who have good businesses, who with the recent cuts in price, very severe cuts in price, are now being paid much less than the cost of production. And these are good guys who have a very high animal welfare. They know their animals, they love them, they put them first, and they produce very good quality products for us. These guys' businesses and livelihoods and homes are now under threat because, unlike a lot of businesses, farmers live over the shop. Their families, their homes, their children's, their whole life is wrapped up in the place where they live and work. So a business going bust means a family losing their home as well. And so we need to be aware of this. And it's not just a case of, it's not a case of special pleading. It's actually about saying, you know, things are really tough out there for people who struggle to pay their bills, and particularly where their income from their milk check may have been delayed, and we're putting people under pressure unnecessarily because of the drive to have milk at the cheapest possible price.
What are the practical steps do you think churches and communities can do to help the dairy farmers at this time?
The most practical thing that you can do is choose carefully how you buy your dairy products, how you buy your milk, cheese and yogurt. And you can do that very easily by making sure that you buy British produce. You'll need to look out for the red tractor logo, which is a bright red tractor surrounded by a Union Jack. That will be on a lot of products. And you can also have a look and see on the label, it should say something like produced from milk, from UK milk. And lots of cheese have that. And lots of cheese is proudly British cheese, and so is lots of yogurt. So look out for that. And you can make a positive decision by buying British yogurt and dairy products. But also, when you buy your liquid milk, the milk that we use every day in tea and coffee and on cereal and in porridge, that is from, you buy it from a place where they are paying a fair price to farmers. And the NFU on their website has a good list of the places that you can go to where farmers receive a fair price for the product that they produce for milk.
An army chaplain from Nottinghamshire has travelled to Sierra Leone. He's believed to be the first to travel to the area to support aid workers dealing with the current Ebola outbreak. The Reverend Major Simon Farmer spent the weekend packing for his trip. His rucksack included a Bible, prayer books and a portable cross.
It comes in three parts, because when you're a chaplain in the army, I mean, our whole thing is being where the soldiers go. So we work out of a Bergen or a day sack, and we're on the move wherever the soldiers are going. So to have a cross that's portable in three little pieces, which can go into my day sack or into my Bergen, is, for me, it's an essential bit of kit. And it means a huge amount to me, partly because it was made in Nottinghamshire in a little village called Bleasby. So that's the cross. Those are medic scrubs, you know, and that's our base layer with some white Wellington boots. And then we put on this thing called PPE, which is the personal protection equipment, which is that suit you've probably all seen on TV, and the gloves and the mask and the... Oh, difficult. I've trained in it. Yeah, I've done it all. So very hot, even in this cold conditions. In the training, we had actors pretending to be Ebola patients. The training was second to none. We had vomit, bowls to clear up, we had all sorts of stuff. It was just so real. And it was like a three, four, five day scenario. They've upped the temperatures, so it's like Sierra Leone in this thing. And we go on shift systems and you work it through. And some patients didn't make it and die and end up in the mortuary. And one guy came up and said, "Oh, can I give you a hug?" And it was all set up, clearly. And you have to use all your skills to back off, but you're still caring for this person that's got Ebola in a bed space, acting. And so I agreed to shake his hand. And it was okay to do that. But then what we have to do, me and my buddy, the nurse, we then have to change. There's a procedure for changing your gloves and your apron, which might take us 15 minutes. And there's a very careful process. And thank God for that, frankly, because that again helps save lives and we stop making mistakes. I've been hugely fortunate in life. I've got a fantastic family. And I guess I've got to an age, just over 50, when I just think it's about giving back. When you sign up to the army, I don't think any of us, including me, expected ever to be fighting the war against a virus. And so it's a fairly scary thing to do, I have to say, if I really think about it. The chaplain's always been at the front line of where any of our soldiers or medics in this case are, a chaplain goes with them. But we go because we want to identify with those that are going, to love and show compassion, to enable someone to just let all their concerns and anxieties and fears just come out rather than suppress.
Army Chaplain Simon Farmer, who's travelled to Sierra Leone to work with medics. The Diocese of Lichfield is looking for a slightly unusual pastor, someone who will spend their time on the internet and social media, hoping to reach younger people. The ad says that the explosion in new social media brings great opportunities. Earlier, I spoke to the Bishop of Stafford, Jeff Annis, and asked him why they'd come up with this role.
It's a brave new role, and it's going to be exciting to see how it all shapes up. But the key thing is about actually enabling younger people, not just the teenagers, but also in the 20s and 30s, because many of them now, Facebooking and all the rest of it, to sort of keep in touch with one another and build up and nurture them in the Christian faith. It's not a substitute for face-to-face contact, and we'll still be encouraging people to go to their local churches, but it's just a sort of a support thing, really, and to nurture them in that way.
But why would they still go to church if they've got social media? I mean, you come up with a really interesting statistic where you say that young people are spending more time, I think it is, doing social media stuff than they are sleeping. So why would they go to church?
Well, because young people are very balanced and they know that physical contact is still important. And a lot of young people like being part of their local church. It's just sometimes, they've got needs that aren't being met. And this is another way of meeting them. No, I think quite the reverse. I mean, the emphasis will be on how they can better join in with what's going on in their churches. But it's also keeping them aware of what's going on in other churches. Interestingly, I think nowadays a lot of younger people don't see themselves even in denominational terms. They see themselves as young Christians, and the way they live out their faith is very different from traditional ways. And it's all part of this reimagining of what it's going to be church, in the coming years. I think where we've got problems is that younger people do see church in a totally different way. We're not going to get them signing up to sort of sit in endless meetings and all the rest of it. That's just not their thing. And I think the Church of England particularly is at a very interesting moment where it's a bit of a turning point. I think the whole simplification agenda and everything that's going on at the moment, headed up by our Archbishop, is totally relevant, because I think, the church in the future is going to have to be very different from the church of today. Now, these young people are very much part of the church of today, and we want to acknowledge that by relating to them in ways that they can understand through social media. But they're also going to be the church of tomorrow. And so part of the role is trying to help them also sort of make the transition and help shape what the church is going to be like in the future.
The Archdeacon of Stoke-on-Trent, Matthew Parker, explained how they would judge the appointment a success.
Success will look like more of our young people feeling that they're involved, connected, relating not just to one another, not just to the wider church, but ultimately relating to God in a way that feels appropriate to them and speaks to where they are. So we're really looking for deepening connections between people, but also helping them feel connected to the God that they worship and serve.
And if you'd like to know more about the online pastor role, have a look at the Diocese of Lichfield's website. That's it for this week's programme. Next week, we'll be hearing from the consecration of the Church of England's first woman bishop as Libby Lane becomes Bishop of Stockport. I'm Gillian Moody. Thanks for listening.